Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's word. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heavenly Father, thank you for all we've enjoyed this Christmas Sunday morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn some things as we turn our ears upward to these heavenly messengers. And I pray, Lord, that the message that they delivered to the shepherds would be real and important and pertinent in our own lives today. Thank you, Lord, for this great crowd of people that have come on this Sunday before Christmas to help us celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I would pray that today, what a great day, what a wonderful day to be saved, Lord. Every Christian, may our hearts be stirred and helped, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, the heavenly message of Christmas, the heavenly message of Christmas. I suppose most anybody that's been saved very long has gotten into a discussion with another Christian at some point concerning who they would like to talk to one of these days when they get to heaven. I don't know about you, but I think most of us are going to make a beeline for our lost or are the loved ones that have gone on before us, our family members that await us there in heaven. What a joyous family reunion that's going to be. To be able to see my daddy once again and to hug his neck. I was thinking this morning that Luke chapter 2, all the years growing up after my mom and dad got saved, celebrated Christmas Eve. Dad would gather us around and read Luke chapter 2. And I thought, you know, I get to do that this morning with my church family, read Luke chapter 2. But I don't know about you, but you can't get around Christmas time without thinking of the memories of those that have gone on before. And then the discussion broadens and we begin to talk about Bible characters that we would like to have a conversation with. For instance, I'd really like to talk to Jonah. I just think the man had some unique experiences in life, and perhaps that would be an interesting conversation. I want to talk to Brother Elijah and tell him, you know what, I'm a little envious. You got to come up a different way than the rest of us did. That chariot of fire must have been an amazing thing. And can you imagine him explaining that and describing that to us? And so many people in the Bible, Moses, and having a discussion with him concerning that burning bush and that fire that lit that bush soon transferred to his heart, and the fire that burned in his soul as he went to do what God had called him to do. And so the subject broadens then to Bible characters. But I'm going to broaden it a little bit more, because I think it'll be interesting, very interesting, to carry on some conversations with the angels. Now you think about that. I don't know about you, but I have spent some time this week thinking about how interesting it would be to talk to Michael the archangel and Gabriel the archangel and different other angels that have served and were used of God as messengers during that time. You know, I always have really weird thoughts. I thought, wouldn't it be neat to have a conversation with Evel Knievel's guardian angel, you know? Can you imagine? Of course, he may not be in heaven. That angel may be somewhere else, but how neat to just have a discussion with the angels, to be able to see them. We picture them. And I like the little angel that was getting on baby Jesus telling him no up here. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing going on there for a while, you know, but so many things. That was funny. But to meet the angels and to talk with them, say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot about angels. Well, let me give you a brief summary. And I always tell our folks this. If you just want a real good primer on angels in the Bible, if you've got a Scofield reference Bible, Hebrews chapter 1, right below Hebrews chapter 1, there's a little summary on the subject of angels that's very good, very well researched, very well written by Mr. Scofield, who added some of the subject reference notes in the Scofield Bible. And let me just read some of that to you. Angel means messenger. It's used of God, in reference to God, sometimes men, and an order of created spiritual beings whose chief attributes were strength and wisdom. In the Old Testament, the expression angel of the Lord usually implies the presence of deity in angelic form. Sometimes angel is used of the spirit of man. Though angels are spirits, power is given unto them to become visible in the semblance of human form. The word is always used in the masculine gender, though sex in the human sense is never ascribed to angels. They are exceedingly numerous. Their power is inconceivable. Their place is about the throne of God. Their relation to the believer is that of ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And this ministry has reference largely to the physical safety and well-being of believers. It would seem that this care for the heirs of salvation begins in infancy and continues through life. By the way, if you ever heard about children having guardian angels, that's Bible-based. The Bible teaches that. Angels observe us, a fact that should influence conduct. They receive departing saints. Isn't that, by the way, a blessed thought? Man is made a little lower than the angels, and the incarnate Christ took for a little time this lower place, that he might lift the believer into his own sphere above the angels. The angels are to accompany Christ in his second advent. To them will be committed the preparation of the judgment of the nations. The kingdom age is not to be subject to angels, but to Christ and those for whom he has made a little lower than the angels. An archangel, Michael, is mentioned as having a particular relation to Israel and to the resurrections. The only other angel whose name is revealed is Gabriel, and was employed in the most distinguished of services. And so this idea of one of these days, folks, by the way, don't forget this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We're going to get to spend eternity in a much better place. Thank God for heaven. Thank God for Jesus Christ, who provided a way for us to go there. Thank God for an eternity to meet and converse and share stories with all of those saints that have gone on before, and to interact with these wonderful created beings and hear the stories that they have to tell. I wanted to draw your attention in Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8 on down, to the message of the angel of the Lord that was sent on the night that Jesus Christ was born. He was sent, as I mentioned last week, to some third shift workers that were up all night, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then we see in verse number 9, the presentation of the angel of the Lord. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning and direct you to the words of this heavenly messenger, because I think these words are still for us today. I think we need to hear these words as we end 2012, look forward into 2013, and celebrate this holiday season. Let me draw your attention to what the angel said to these shepherds on the night that Jesus Christ was born. Notice first of all in verse number 10, and the angel said unto them, here it is, fear not, fear not. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that. Fear not. 63 times you'll find in the Bible these two words linked together, fear not. Seems like in 2012, especially in the last several months, there seems to be more than enough reason for concern, anxiety. Some people are fearful, others depressed. Our nation's economy is seemingly a house of cards as our debt begins to grow and grow and grow. Financial gurus are warning of an upcoming fiscal cliff. Say, preacher, how can I not fear? Satanically controlled young men brainwashed on violent video games and Hollywood horror shows are walking into public schools and committing unthinkable acts of violence. And all of us still have those images fresh in our heart. America's silent Holocaust continues as we are scheduled to pass the 60 million baby mark. 60 million babies aborted since Roe versus Wade, January 22nd, 1973. Sodomite agenda is being pushed upon the American people as never before. We have foolishly elected the mayor of Sodom into a second term in the White House. Talk of new hate crime laws drift onto the national scene as preachers are being threatened with the idea of walking to the pulpit and just preaching what is plainly written in the scriptures concerning this subject. Say, preacher, I could go on and on and on because of all of the things going on, and yet God sent a messenger and he said this, fear not. And by the way, I think all of us need to hear that this morning. Fear not. Don't let fear stop you, folks, from accomplishing what God wants you to do in 2013. You see, fear doesn't come from God. Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 4, 18, perfect love casteth out fear. I love this little verse. I think every young person ought to memorize this. Psalm 56, 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I don't think we ought to let fear cause the Church of Jesus Christ to take up a defensive position. I believe now is the time to go forward for the Lord. Now is the time to advance the cause of Christ as never before. Preacher, it's dark. I know, but you know what? The darker the night, the brighter the light. And I think every Christian who will shine bright in this day and age will make a difference like we've never had an opportunity to make before because of the climate. I want to say to our young people, fear not. I want to say to you senior saints, fear not. I want to say to you young couples just starting a family, and preacher, I'm trying to get this thing going. It seems like there's so many. Listen, fear not. Preacher, I'm raising children in a culture, in a country that I'm starting to no longer recognize. Fear not. You know what? God is still on the throne. And you know what? If you'll do a little bit of research, you'll find out that the nation of Israel was in times of violence and turmoil and testing. I mean, they were under oppression. They were taken over by the Romans and paying tribute to the Romans. This wasn't an easy time either. And yet God sent the angel of the Lord to say, first of all, fear not. How about the words to this song? I love this song. Be not dismayed where whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. I like verse 2. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. This is written for the Christian. Verse number 3. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test. Preacher, what's going to happen in the next year? I don't know, and you don't either. And by the way, I've always said this. Praise the Lord, I don't. Let's just take it a day at a time here, all right? Let's just see what God unfolds for us. But no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one upon his breast. God will take care of you. The first message that we receive from these angels on the first Christmas night is this: fear not, fear not. Look right up here. Let me help everybody a second. That message is for the Christian. That message for the believer. Let me say this. If I was an unbeliever and I'm without Christ and I'm looking around, you have every single right in the world to be afraid. But you know what? All that can be laid to rest if you'll simply embrace Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This world's not my home. This life is a vapor, it appeareth but a short time, vanisheth away. And so what we need to do is keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give in to our fears. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So the first message addresses our fears. Let's look now at verse number 10, continue to read. The angel said unto them, fear not, I love this. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, here's the second message, the second part of the message. The angels first come to the shepherds and say, don't be afraid. And then they say this, spread the news. Watch this, spread the news, a Savior is born. Spread the news, a Savior is born. Preacher, how do we combat so much bad news? By spreading the good news. Did you get that? I don't know about you, but yes, there's a lot of bad stories, a lot of bad things happening, but you know what? There's still an eternal good news, the good news of the gospel that needs to be spread to every single person. I think people in this day and age are more receptive to it just because there's so much bad news. Everybody would like a little good news. Wouldn't it be neat one night just to turn on the NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox, whatever you watch, and turn it on and just have nothing but positive, good stories? I mean, you know what? America would probably have a nervous breakdown. It's almost like we have an addiction to negativity. I got to sit down every night for an hour and listen to every bad thing that's happened so that I can feel good. I don't know about you, but I'd just be refreshed by a little good news. You know what? You ought to just take that in your own personal life as a challenge. Be an encouragement to people. You realize that people are going to seek you out, want to be around you. If every time they get around you, you've got something good to say instead of something bad to say. And there just seems like we've got a national addiction to negativity. And so the angel comes and he says, hey, I want to equip the Church of Jesus Christ with the best message, the greatest news that anybody can ever tell another human being. That's this: spread the news, a Savior is born. Did you see what it said in verse number 10? This news is good tidings of great joy. This news is to all people, to all people. You can't go wrong spreading the Word of God. You can't go wrong telling the gospel story. Little Ashley, is Ashley, what's her name? Spear? Is Ashley, I had a senior moment. Is Ashley Spear here this morning? She was driving in late last night and called me and wanted to make sure she was going the right way, trying to get from college to here, and then finally did text me later that she'd gotten home. But she said, Pastor, I want to make sure I'm on the right road. It seemed like every time I go between Lexington and home, I go a different way, and it's night out. And so I told her which way would be best to come and how to catch. And I said, be sure and text me when you get home. And I started to hang up. She said, wait, I got to tell you something. I said, yes. And she said, the reason I'm leaving so late tonight is I just got off work. I said, okay. And she said, the place I work, she said, I got to lead one of my coworkers to the Lord tonight. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no. One of the young men that works there was going out to warm up his car afterwards and said, hey, you want me to start your car while I'm out there? And she said, yeah, my keys are in my pocket of my coat. So he went over the pocket of my coat, and the pocket of my coat that had my keys also had a stack of gospel tracts. And so he took the keys and took a gospel tract and went out and started one car, started the other, and came back and sat down in the break room and read through the gospel tract and walked back in to talk to her and looked at her and said, is this true? Is this right? Could you talk to me about this? And she said, I got to go through the scriptures with him and lead him to Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? There still is good news. There still is good news, preacher. I don't know if the economy is going to last another year. I don't either. But you know what? A Savior came. Preacher, I don't know what we're going to do about this violence. Oh, I don't know either. But let me just say this, folks. The answer is not taking freedoms away from Americans. That's not how we should solve this. But don't get me started on that, because I have thought it through and I'm just dying to unload on this. Maybe tonight I will. But we got such a mixed up society. And by the way, if our national leaders are really concerned about our children, the innocence and the destruction of the innocence, the first piece of legislation that ought to be passed is to reverse Roe versus Wade and outlaw abortion in America. Hello. Hello. I'm as brokenhearted as anybody over those 20 kids. I have grandchildren their age, so I'm not untouched by it. But it's amazing how we can get so energized over that, and yet over here in a corner, because we don't see it, 60 million unborn babies, the innocent of all innocent, destroyed, and it continues. And the same president wants to take away guns. It's the same president that defends the right for people to abort their baby. That is wickedness before God. It's wickedness before God. See, all this negativity, all this bad news, is there any good news out there? Yep, a Savior is born. Good tidings of great joy. This news is to all people. Here's the news. A Savior is born. His name is Christ the Lord. Spread the news, spread the news, spread the news. Listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Oh, tonight we're going to come. We'll find out our new theme and we'll find out what we're going to do into the next year. Most of you have been here anytime, kind of figured out already pretty much what we're going to do, and that's this. Get the word out. Get the word out. Let's start a new bus route this next year. Let's pass out more gospel tracts. Let's work more knocking at doors and getting the word of God to people. You know why? Because there is no greater news than this. A Savior is born. Let's continue on down. Look in verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe. Remember that little phrase there, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then right after that statement, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Notice the angel said, ye shall find the babe. The last thing that I want to draw to your attention on this heavenly message is this admonition. Go seek the Savior. Seek the Savior. Fear not. Spread the news. A Savior is born. Now go seek him. I want to say just a word, because I don't know who's here. And as I said earlier, it's not my job to know the hearts of men. My job is to preach the word of God and to pray and to love you. But you know what? There may be somebody here that needs to seek Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For the first time in your life, turn to a Savior who has died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. That young man who Ashley got to talk to was just a man that woke up that day lost. And if somebody would ask him, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? His answer would have probably been, well, I hope so. I sure hope that that works out. But he didn't know. And yet he was able to pillow his head that night, knowing for sure that Jesus Christ was his Savior and that heaven was his home. Let me say this, folks. If you're here today and you can't look back on the timeline of your life and find that place, that time where you were fell under Holy Spirit conviction of your sin and understood the gospel clearly, felt the drawing of the Father, and turned to Jesus Christ for salvation, now is the time to seek him. Now is the time to accept him as your personal Savior. But I want to say a word to Christians too. I don't believe it's just the time for lost people to seek Jesus. And I mean this. Please let me just share my heart for a minute here. I believe every single saved person, we need to turn our hearts back to our Savior. I think it's now time to let him become Lord of our life. You see, there's no higher calling than to let Christ reign supreme in your life. Jesus still awaits those who will seek him out. And he still wants to converse with us and walk with us. You see, folks, many ways we can seek Him. We can seek Him in 2013 in the pages of this Bible, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You can't separate the Bible from Jesus and Jesus from the Bible. This is the written Word. He's the living Word. When you read the Bible, you're spending time with Christ. Let me just encourage you, seek Him in the pages of the Bible. Seek Him in the pages of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Walk with Him this year. Walk beside Him. Listen to everything He says, and watch everything He does, and learn from Him. Seek Him by dwelling where He dwells. Say, preacher, where does He dwell? Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. I had somebody say something, and it bothered me just recently, and I'm going to go have a conversation with the man. I wasn't really ready with an answer, or didn't give the answer that I probably should have. I checked on somebody recently that hadn't been in church much in the last few months, and he said, well, I wanted to let you know, me and my wife have not been in church, but we haven't forsaken the Lord. And I think that there is a mentality out there somewhere that's brewing around that somehow, you know, you can be with God and not be obedient to God when it comes to forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I'm going to go visit that man. I've had some time to think about it. I'm going to lovingly open the Scriptures with him. But folks, let me say this. If you want to be like Christ, then be like Christ. And Christ, the Bible says, as His custom was, entered into the synagogue. On the day set aside, in His day, to gather and worship the Lord, He was there. And this idea that church attendance just isn't important. There's people here, and God bless you, I mean this. I'm rooting for you. I'm not against you. I'm your friend, not your enemy. Well, the greatest decision you can make in 2013 is to say this. We're going to lock back into church attendance. We're just going to be there. We're going to be faithful. So many people have come this year, and so many people have become a part of our church family this year, and I'm excited about it. And they're gleaning from it. I got a text the other day from somebody that comes, been kind of coming just Sunday mornings. I'm excited for them, and they're starting in, they're starting out, and I think they're going to make some more decisions. But they said this to me in a text message. They said, Pastor, me and my husband talk every single Sunday afternoon over almost everything that we hear from the Word of God on Sunday morning. You know what's happening? They are learning the benefit of church attendance. And you know, folks, let me say this. If we're going to seek the Savior, then we need to seek Him in the pages of the Bible. Seek Him in the pages of the Gospel. Seek Him by dwelling where He dwells. You say, preacher, where two or three... You got another verse for that? Absolutely. Go to John. Go to Revelation chapter 1. And John, as he has that fresh vision of Jesus Christ. And where does he, Jesus Christ? He sees Him in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which are representative of the seven local churches. Let me say this. Jesus and the church. Again, you can't separate the two. Jesus loves the church. He dwells in the church. He makes a special His presence when we gather here together. And you ought to spend this year seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek Him as the supreme example of your life. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Don't just accept Him as Savior. Accept Him as the Lord of your life. Well, we hope that you'll spend the next several days enjoying family and friends and all of the activities that come with the holidays. But more than anything else, we hope that Jesus Christ will find first place in your life during this holiday season. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Fear not. Fear not was the first message. Preacher, I needed to hear that this morning. Just seems like I'm in so much turmoil. I'm at the place where I'm tired of reading the paper. I'm tired of hearing all the negativity. Fear not. Folks, listen to me. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Spread the news. A Savior is born. Let's be busy this year. Maybe you needed to hear this news. Seek the Savior. Seek the Savior. Now is the time to accept Him as your own personal Savior. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, preacher, I came in today, and when you asked the question, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? There was something that happened inside of me. God is dealing with my heart. I feel Him dealing with my heart. And if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen. I fear what might happen. I do not know for sure. I don't have the peace in my heart that Jesus is my Savior. Let me tell you this, He loves you. He loves you so much. He came. He was born in a manger. lived a perfect life, died on an old rugged cross for your sins, for the sins of the whole world, was buried and rose 3 days later. And he sits upon the throne at the right hand of God, and he holds out to the world the gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, bought and paid for. It's a gift free of charge, no strings attached. He just holds it out. He's held it out for now these thousands of years. Holds it out to mankind. Please accept what I did for you. Please accept me as your Savior. Please accept my gift of eternal life. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know for sure what would happen to me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. God's spoken to my heart. He's dealing with my heart." By the way, we won't embarrass you, and we won't come to you and or do any of those things. I won't call your name. But I would like to pray for you. "Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'm saved, and I need to be saved. Please just pray for me. God is dealing with my heart." Would you raise your hand real high? "Please pray for me, preacher. Just pray for me. God is dealing with my heart about this matter of salvation. Please pray for me." God bless you. Christians, the message of the angels is still for us today. I pray that this has been a help and a comfort to you. Heavenly Father, bless now our time of invitation. Use it in our lives, Lord. I pray for those present here without Christ as their Savior. Lord, as we begin the invitation time, may they leave their seats, come to the nearest aisle. Lord, I pray that they would come on up here, dear God. Brother Jack up here waiting. Get somebody to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Please, Lord, work in their hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.